here today. You know, in 2 Corinthians 13:5, there it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Are you in the faith? Do you have Jesus Christ in you? Do you know? Turn over to Romans chapter 8. We want to read a good bit here in Romans chapter 8. Here in Romans chapter 8, we'll start reading with verse 4. He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. As for many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's kind of interesting. We think about that verse. How should we know that we're born in the Spirit? How should we know that we're in the Spirit? How should we understand and realize? You know, as we think about that and what it says there, you know, it talks about there in verses 8 through 9 that we're in the flesh, we cannot please God. And so we have to be in the Spirit. And the Spirit of Christ has to dwell in us. How can we tell this? Can we tell it by our feelings, by our emotions? How are we going to know that the Spirit of Christ is in us? We can't see it. We can't touch it. We know it by what we do. John 6 and verse 63, he says, the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their Spirit in their life. The words of Christ, their Spirit, their life. Do you have the words of Christ in you? And then John 2:5. But whoso keepeth this word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we're in him. We're in him by keeping his word. And we can know that we're in him. Simple question. Are you keeping his word? Remember we read in verses 4 through 8 that the mind, the things that we mind, verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What do we think on? The mind, what things do we have in our mind, things we have in our heart, things we meditate and think on, those are things we're going to do. What you're thinking about, that's what you'll do. And so if you're minding, you're thinking on things of the Spirit, you do the things of the Spirit. But if you're thinking on things of the flesh, the things of this life, verse 60 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now how do you think on spiritual minded things? You're thinking on the words of Christ, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the things he taught, him and his holy apostles, the things they set forth. That's spiritually minded, thinking on those things. That's what it means to be spiritually minded. And what we think on as the things that we're going to do. You see, the things we do. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5 says this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fill ye my joy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. I want you to think about Christ and his mind. The mind of Christ, the kind of mind that he had. You can tell his mind by the things that he did. Christ was a man who loved, who had compassion, who had forgiveness. And he thought about other people and their necessities of life, their salvation, their hope, their promise. He thought about others. He didn't look at himself and consider his needs, but he considered the needs of others. Christ was one who gave himself in service with a purpose. He served man, he served his fellow man, and he served God with a dedicated purpose, to the end that he would be crucified for us all. Christ's mind was one of obedience to God's will and everything, even to the point of death, even the point of shedding of his own blood to do the will of God. Let's read again in Romans 8, verse 10 through 14. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Christ didn't serve his body. His body he denied. He denied his pleasures. He denied the necessity of life, even to the point of death he denied it. But the Spirit, the Word of Christ, the will of God, is life. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Does Christ's Spirit dwell in you? How can you tell? By the things you mind, by the things you think on, and then by the things that you do. Verse 12, he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. And what is the flesh? But your body, the things that your body wants, the things the natural man wants, the things of the natural life. He says, for if we live after the flesh, you fall after those things and live after them, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, instructions of the Word, you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. What does mortify mean? Put to death. Put them to death. To put them out of your life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. To be led by the Spirit of God is to follow the teachings of God. The things that God has instructed us in. We need to examine ourselves that we are not condemned. We need to examine ourselves whether we be in Christ, whether we are in the faith. He says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but when we are chastened, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So it's very good to take moments in time and spots along our life that we examine ourselves. Just in case you didn't do it during the week, God set up a certain time and he said that we were to examine ourselves as we commune with him. To make sure that we did that. To look at ourselves to see whether or not we're in Christ or not. You know, the strange thing that most people might think about it, you know, we read verses like that in Romans 10 about putting to death the flesh, and we read Matthew 7:21. He said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which art in heaven. So you got to do God's will, and it comes on down. Jesus talked about he that built his house upon the sand was those that heard his word and did not do it, but them that hear his word and does it, those built their house upon the solid rock. And sometimes we might draw the wrong conclusion. The conclusion that we're to live a sin-free life. that we have to live a life above sin and a life that is perfect. That's not what he means by it at all. For all have sinned. And if we say we have not sinned, we're a liar. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And 1 John 1:8-10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth not in us. You know, it's not that we'll live free of sin or above sin and without sin. Verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know, it's not a matter that we live free of sin, but it's a matter of living a sacrificial life. Like Jesus did. Living a life in service to God. Like Christ did. It's a matter that we follow Jesus and that we're in Him. And you can't live a sacrificial life in Christ except you're in Christ. You know what really matters is that we're in Christ and that He's in us and that we're therefore covered by His blood. That we're in the blood of Christ because we all sin daily. We all fall short daily. And so when we go to look at ourselves and examine our lives, we want to look for a life that's in Christ, a life that's a living sacrifice in Christ. Romans 12:1, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And so he's not asking too much to ask for this sacrificial life. Jesus said it in another way in Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You denied yourself today to be here. But he said, do it daily. Did we deny ourselves anything yesterday or the day before or the day before? Do we do that daily in some way, deny ourselves to be a sacrifice to God? You know, how do we do that, okay? Denying some time of rest or sleep or play or work or whatever you do to have a time of prayer. That's a sacrifice to God. Deny yourself that you'll have a time to read, to study, to meditate on His Word. Deny yourself in some way to serve God in your life. You can do it by serving others, visiting the sick or visiting the hospital. You want to deny yourself to do something in service toward God. That's what he's talking about. And to deny yourself is not when when I haven't got anything else to do, I'll do this. Or if I don't have anything left over, I've got this left over, so I'll give this to God, like in your money that you give. A sacrifice is something you do first. You deny yourself to do it. When David was going to make a sacrifice to God, he was the king, and he was setting up to make this sacrifice, and this man brought his animals up there, and he told David to take these animals and sacrifice them. And David said he would not take them. He would not sacrifice to his God except it cost him something that he gave of something of himself. And so when Jesus is talking about here, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. That's our sacrifice. What we deny ourselves to serve God. And in Titus 1:16, it talks about those that have been baptized into Christ, those that are in Christ, that did not deny themselves, that did not follow Him. This is what he says. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. He's talking about those people that did not follow Christ. Who obeyed the gospel and were baptized into them, because all those letters were written to people that had already been baptized. But you see, being in Jesus Christ is what really matters. And then we live for Him. And He will judge how we've lived for Him. But we can look in ourselves and examine ourselves and know what we've been doing and how we've been living for Him and in Him, and whether or not we glorify Him with our lives. We can know whether or not we're in Christ. Being in Christ is not a feeling, it's not an emotion, it's not you know, it's something that I feel inside. It is a condition that you're in. It's a condition that you're in. And you're in that condition based upon your response to the gospel of Christ, to the words of Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, "Any youth, the straight gate, the wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that be that find it." The way into Christ is a narrow passage. It doesn't mean that you are walking a narrow path and a down. No, it means a narrow passageway, like a narrow door. It's like a door that you go through. That's what he's talking about, a door. It's a door that you go through. It's not a big wide door. It's a single narrow door that you go through. And Jesus describes it as a door. In John 10 and 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And it's only through this door that we get into Christ and are covered by the blood of Christ. You have to go into Christ and through Christ. You go out and find pasture, just like He said. John 14 and 6. Jesus said, "And I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, cometh unto the Father, but by me." And there's only one way to come to God, and that's by Jesus Christ. He is that door. And there's only one way to get into Christ. It's a narrow little way, but it's a door. It's a passageway that we go through. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to start reading verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's what matters. Are we in Christ? We're all one in Christ Jesus. You notice he says that we're all, talking about verse 26, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Faith. The way the Bible talks about faith requires a response. It requires action. It requires something to be done. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the faith chapter. It says, "By faith, Abel offered glory and sacrifice." You see, something was done. By faith, Noah moved with fear and built an ark, prepared an ark. It talks about by faith, Moses, he forsook Egypt. Talks about how by faith, Rahab the harlot, she pulled out the scarlet thread. When you do something by faith, you see that faith requires action. And here this faith in Jesus Christ requires baptism into Him. That's what he says. Baptism. It's an action that has to take place that puts us into Christ. Baptism is the only way into Jesus Christ. You can't sit down under a tree and pray and get in Christ. You can't have the preacher come pray over you and get into Christ. The only way to get into Jesus Christ is through baptism. He said it was a narrow passage. It is a passageway. It is the only passageway that puts you into Jesus Christ. The water there. Baptism separates us from the world. Baptism separates us. The world's over here, and we go through that baptism, and here we're separated from the world. It separates us from the world, just like the water separated Noah from the world. When Noah and his family went in the ark, the water separated them from the lost underneath, the ones that were drowned. Look at 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, we're going to start reading verse 18. You know, doing good deeds will not put us into Christ. Making sacrifices of all kinds you might make for your life or whatever you might sacrifice won't put you into Christ. There's only one thing that'll put you into Jesus Christ. There's only one way, and Jesus Christ is the only way, and in Him and through Him is the only way, and there's only one way to get into Jesus. And He puts it out quite plain here. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins and just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also He went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few that is eight souls were saved by water. The like figure went through baptism. The like figure went through even baptism doth also now save us, not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but to answer with good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All the good deeds that we can do will not replace that. All the money that we can give will not replace that. All the sacrifices that we might make cannot replace this. Being in Christ. Baptism is what puts us into Christ. And this is the only way. You know, this very thing separates us from the rest of the religious world. This very teaching separates us from the world. All those religious teachings and things in this world. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. While we're going there, I want you to think about 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. For by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body. You see, we're baptized into one body. And this baptism puts us in that body. It separates us, the body of Christ, from all other bodies. Romans chapter 6. We won't start reading verse 1. Outside of this, without obedience to this, without coming and being baptized into Christ, we don't have the grace of God, but in that we're covered by His blood. You know, we're not perfect, we're just forgiven. And the blood of Christ covers our sins. Romans 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And he's writing to people already been baptized, warning them that they can't just live any way they want to. That they're not sinless, but they are to sin less than they used to fight against sin and not freely sin. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? This is where we come back to death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we've been planted in and together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. And he goes through a long discourse there, teaching us that we should not continue to walk in the freely live in sin and to lust after sin, but rather to live after God. Now I want you to notice verse 17 and 18. Let's read verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye give yourself servant to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form a doctrine was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. What about your life this morning? What about your baptism this morning? Were you baptized in Christ? This is what makes all the difference in the world. What separates us from the world, whether or not we're in Christ. And sure, we're not perfect, but we live that sacrificial life, making sacrifices for the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, there are things that have to take place before you can be baptized in Christ. First off, you have to hear it. You couldn't be baptized for something you never heard. Isaiah 55:3 said, "Incline your ear, hear, come unto me, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And we think about the sure mercies of David. David sinned. He sinned a sin that required death. But God forgave him and didn't take his life. So we want to hear, as Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He said that many times. Hear it that we might believe it. You know, in Romans 10 it says, "How shall they believe in whom they've not heard?" Hear it that you might believe it, and believe it that you can be saved. John 8:24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, except you believe that he, you should die in your sins." And you know, you won't obey or do something except you believe in it. And that belief brings forth an action of obedience. So believe that you can obey, and that you will obey. Jesus said 13 in Luke 13:3, "I say you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." We all have to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9, he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning the promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffered toward us, who are not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." You know, God's will is that every soul will be saved. But every soul we know will not be saved. You know, we often think that God's will is always done, but no. There is what's called the permissive God's will. He permits those who will not repent to be lost. Though it's His will that be saved, but He permits them to go their own way and to be lost. It means to repent of not obeying Christ. Obey Him in confession. Confessing His name, Matthew 10:32, "Confess me before men, I confess before my Father which art in heaven. Deny me before men, and I deny you before my Father which art in heaven." In Romans 10:10, it says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation," or toward salvation. And so you make that confession, you know, you're headed toward salvation. And what really brings about your salvation, to put you into Christ, is baptism, as Jesus said in Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." As we read in Galatians 3:27, "For many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." There's two things there, being in Christ and having Christ on. 2 Corinthians 13:5. He said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in your faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Christ is in you, except you be reprobate." If you're here today and you were once baptized in Christ, but you haven't put on Christ, you haven't been living that life for Christ, you haven't been making sacrifices for Jesus, you know, what does He tell us to do? He tells us to repent and to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. And God forgive us. But if you've never been baptized in Christ, you cannot do that and be accepted of God. You first have to be in the body of Christ. And to get into the body of Christ, you have to become baptized into Him and put Him on. And if you're here today and you're subject to this gospel call, either way, to come forward confessing fault and asking prayer, you receive forgiveness from God, or to be baptized in Jesus, we give that opportunity as we stand and sing. Won't you come as we stand and sing number 84?